if I had to put together my own personal Mount Rushmore of winter meetings, Peter Gammon's face would be on it, because the first winter meetings I covered, the first person I saw when I walked in the lobby was Peter. You were already working, and I think it was like a I got there Saturday because I wanted to beat everybody. Subsequent to that, I think it'd be my second winter meetings, the Expos signed Oil Can Boyd, and I, as a young reporter, went up and asked Peter, Oil Can Boyd, Red Sox. An hour later, I came away knowing everything I needed to know about Oil Can Boyd. Used your name as an intro when I went down to do a story on Oil Can Boyd. So it's a great pleasure for me and Mike Wilner to be joined by Peter Gammes. Peter,
thanks so much for doing it. I'll give you a little trivia about Oil Can Boyd.
Okay.
Chris Bryant's father, Mike Bryant, who played a little bit in the Red Sox farm system, his roommate was Oil Can Boyd, and they were very close friends.
Really?
So it kind of amazes me that Chris Bryant is who he is. I mean, extremely smart, tremendous guy. But Chris would never understand who Oil Can really was. So.
No, I don't think
I still see him, too. He shows up in Boston at Fenway Park. And
Peter, I wanted to ask you that. Mike and I talked a little bit in the last hour about just how the winter meetings have changed, and we're talking about Twitter and its impact and social media and its impact. What were your rules for covering the winter meeting back in the day? Because you really did do it better than anybody else. We've got there are a lot of guys now, a lot of sources. Again, Twitter, there's a lot of stuff broken early. But I'm not just saying this because you're here, and I know you don't need to hear this, but you were the guy who broke a lot of stories that we all followed.
Well,
what was your rules for covering?
The biggest difference is that people left their suites then.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the clubs all just hole up in their suites and get room service for 6 days. And it's very difficult to see anybody. I mean, I do have a – it bothers me that a lot of times I have to text somebody from the lobby – to his room upstairs to try to get some background on what has been done. I mean, it's so different. I just tried to hang out, and there were always certain people that teams would for many years would send scouts or lower management people out to go in the lobby to find out what was going on. Sometimes they'd come to us to find out what's going on, or there were certain people. Jim Fregosi was always in the same seat in every hotel we ever went to. He knew everything that was going on. So just make sure you're, Jim, would you like me to get you a beer?
The answer was always yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But it was sort of wandering around, seeing everybody. I enjoy seeing the people. And that's what I find a little bit more difficult. I miss seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are... I see Mark Shapiro every day because he's in the gym at like 5:30 the way I am. But otherwise, I mean, it's hard to find people. And I almost think that the winter meetings are obsolete now.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it by phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Alex Anthopoulos has made the point quite often. And, again, a younger guy, he said, quite frankly, I could do the winter meetings just from just by text. He said I could get away with it just by text. I don't even have to be there. And of course, it was the Yankees for the longest time. A couple of years, George Steinbrenner forbid his GMs from coming down to the winter meetings, didn't he?
Yes, and I never remember quite why George was upset, but I think that's almost the best way. And the GM meetings now, there's so much media there and so many agents. It's not, and believe me, I have sympathy for anybody looking for a job. So, I mean, these young people who are the job seekers, but a general manager can't go through the lobby because he's got to get besieged.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for people who are and Alex is one of the all-time workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love him. But it's hard for somebody like that because you end up, rather than being able to deal with people face-to-face, you end up, I remember him saying to me last year that he thought that, like, whatever the percentage was of business was done texting, not with teams going into rooms. I mean, it used, part of covering it used to be, you know, I used to love the Lowe's Anatole in Dallas because you all the elevators were glass, so you could stand in the lobby and see who was going up in elevators with who else. So whether it's an agent and or two general managers and their groups going up together to a room, so you get some idea of who is talking to whom. Now there's none of that. You don't really see people disappearing together. And I think it was, I think the Anatole was three times I did that.
Joined by Peter Gammons in the MLB net, of the MLB Network. Yeah, I always
the elevators are glass here too.
But
in this day and age,
I've always figured the worst thing to happen to the winter meetings was it was either social media or the Opryland. I can't remember the one of the two worst things. You know, it's funny. I remember when I first started covering it. One of the things you would do because teams would they'd put together teams of people to go and visit individual teams, and if you had a guy, a scout in your organization who played with the GM of the Phillies, boom, he'd be part of your team that would go into the Phillies suite. And I can remember drawing up a list with covering the Montreal Expos, and Dan Duquette was very good at this. He'd have guys, and I used to laugh because I'd look, okay, I see why this guy is going into this. Guy's not going with this group because this GM fired him 2 years ago, but he's going in with this group. And there really was that whole, the intrigue aspect of it, of who's meeting with who. And then, of course, the agents would come through, and that was when all hell broke loose. If you saw an agent going up an elevator at 2 in the morning, that was the worst sign. That was the worst sign if you were a reporter. When you look at this market, Peter, the player market right now, some of the free agents that are out there, the amount of money and the term that relievers are getting, what's the biggest change you've noticed, even in the past couple of years, in the way the game is?
Well, for one thing, pitching is getting more and more expensive. And part of it is the development, and I think the whole United States program of these showcases where all they do is go out and throw two innings and throw as hard as they can. I found this interesting. About a week ago, a general manager said, boy, it just seems like there aren't the pitching prospects right now. So I went to MLB.com, took their top 30 prospects. Only six of them were pitchers. Going back 5 years. Took their top 30, and 15 of them were pitchers. And it's kind of, it's harder to develop pitching because the showcase, they don't learn any other pitches. It's all about velocity. They hurt their arms, all the Tommy John surgeries at 15 and 18. And so it's just that the price keeps going up on them. And now with the whole relief pitcher craze, which I buy into to some extent, although I don't buy in to the sabermetric idea that starters don't have to pitch innings. I still think that's a fallacy. But I get it, but at the same time, the way the price has gone up, I mean, when Brett Cecil got that contract, I mean, Brett Cecil's good. I don't question that. I was just stunned that he got what a fourth starter would have gotten. Eight years ago.
And it used to be, I always used to think it's, you know, you could have a starter or you could have three relievers and to put together your team that way for the same money. But it's certainly moved away from that. Relievers are getting, I mean, Mark Zepchinski got 2 years and $11 million. A guy who, a former Blue Jay, who's been bad as often as he's been good in his major league career. I wanted to ask you, Peter, while we've got you, first of all, I have to tell you also that Jeff Blair had that story about his first meetings. I don't think it was my first meeting because I think I was too nervous to go up to you my first three winter meetings. No, but I like Tom Cheek and you were the people that I've been the most scared to talk to. And when I finally did introduce myself to you, you could not have been more pleasant and wonderful and helpful. So thank you so much for that. I want to ask you about something that a lot of Blue Jays fans are talking about right now and that we talked about earlier. And it's how you deal with franchise icons at the end. Because Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, almost 1,000%, are not going to be back with the Blue Jays, but they're both all-timers and you know, huge parts of these two playoff runs, level of excellence players for the Blue Jays. You don't want to be sentimental, right? As a management team, you can't sign people with your heart. But is there a good way to have your best ever, some of your best ever players move on?
No, I think it's very hard. I mean, there's If guys are really declining, John Hart used to say, never let a falling star land on you. But in my mind, they're not. Encarnacion is still one of the best hitters in baseball.
Sure.
And he's such a good hitter. He's not a big strikeout guy. He's just a really good hitter. And, I mean, you know, I know people who run teams are given budgets by ownership and, okay, this is what you could spend. But I do think it's a little, I think it's difficult. I also have the belief that, and the Blue Jays have been in a really good run. They haven't gotten to the World Series in this run yet, but it's still been tremendous for the playoffs the year before, and the team is so really fun to watch and so forth. It's people always say to me, fans forget in a hurry. I'm not sure they do when guys are the best that played there. I mean, when David Ortiz started to decline, it looked like he might be done. And he almost got released at one point about 6 years ago. There was still that, but look at the home runs he hit when they won two World Series. And he's still beloved in the city. And you got to hold on. You got to make it. He's got to prove to you that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out, you know, it became a glorious story for them. And he becomes... Well, he's actually the most impactful person in the history of the franchise, partially because they hadn't won one in
right.
the World Series in 86 years, but still. And then I think you have to really be conscious of that. I mean, I wonder if Blue Jays fans, if the team is not going really well in April or May, get less enthusiastic about going to the ballpark because Encarnacion isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to really like Bautista. I find him fascinating because I think he's so smart. And I raised the question, okay, Ortiz is gone. I think Bautista would go to Boston and go off in a huge way. And I think he could handle Boston because I think he kind of liked that, the tension that there mm-hmm. always is around.
Mm-hmm.
And now luxury tax, can't deal with it. And I don't know. I also think players like that, even if they're controversial, they're colorful. People want to watch them play. They want to hear what they say. They want to read about them. Does baseball lose when they lose really good players?
Right.
And they're leaving the city where they became really famous. And I'm sad to see it because... I know what it was like in when they won in 92, 93, and, mm-hmm. and it was just so incredible to be there. It's been so incredible to be there the last couple of years. I worry a little bit about, not that it's going to become, you know, the Oakland A's, but is it going to be a little bit more difficult to get the fans to come out
right.
if you're winning 85 or 87 games?
Well, and that's my concern because you are selling, you know, you're selling dreams and aspirations as well, and you need people to do that. Peter, listen, it's been great of you to join us. Thanks so much. A real pleasure. Always enjoy our time together. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.